Thank you. It's an honor to be here and have you all here tonight. I appreciate you coming. I'm going to be sharing with you today the secret of creating the life of your dreams, the key to living the law of attraction. You know, I've been studying success for 36 years. I've read over 3,000 books. I've taken hundreds of seminars looking for what is the secret to success. I've interviewed literally hundreds of high-level people, top salespeople, people that are running governments, people that are the generals in the army, people that are corporate leaders, professional athletes, etc. And there are some principles I've discovered over the year that I want to share with you that can make your life work at a level that you didn't even know was possible. I've used these principles in my own life. I've created a phenomenal life for myself. I have students all over the world that are using these principles that have doubled their income and tripled their time off in 2 and 3 years. And you're going to hear some of the stories of these people as we go through this program. So it's intriguing to me that if you know the combination to a lock, the lock has to open. And every one of us has probably used a combination lock in our life. And yet, when we look at success, many of us do not know what those numbers are. We're missing some. We're doing a lot of the right things, but there's pieces that are missing. And so what I want to share with you is how do we take and put those into our life so that we create the quality of life that we want. You know, you have the power to create anything you want. It's possible. All you have to do is apply the principles. And everything you want is waiting for you right now. All you need to know is the key to unlock the lock. So that's what we're going to focus on here. And I want to explain to you not only what you need to know, but what you need to do in order to live in harmony with this law of attraction. We've all heard about the law of attraction. We've seen the movie The Secret. Perhaps we've read the book. And yet we see all people that have done this. And as I travel around the world, I see people that are still going, but where's my $1 million? Where's my perfect relationship? You know, I'm doing these things I think I'm supposed to be doing, but there's some pieces that are missing. And that's what we want to look at with you. Now, the law of attraction says this. It says that whatever you think about, focus on, fantasize about, worry about, talk about, attend to, watch on TV, listen to on the radio, you're going to create more of in your life, especially those things you feel intense feelings about. So when you're talking about how bad it is down in the bar, you know, talking about how terrible life is, what I call the Ain't It Awful Club. You know, people go there after work to the Ain't It Awful Club and complain about how miserable their life is. And when you do that, what happens is you actually create more of that because you're sending out a vibration. And that vibration is your thoughts and your feelings that are the result of those thoughts. And so we have to become conscious of our thoughts. We have to become conscious of our feelings. We have to become deliberate thinkers, deliberate creators. And so there's this thing called harmonic resonance. If we had a bunch of tuning forks in the room and we hit an A fork over here, all the other A forks would start to vibrate. And that's how law of attraction works. When you're putting out an emotion, when you're having a feeling, when you're communicating about something, what happens is the vibration level you're at, when we're feeling abundant, when we're feeling generous, when we're feeling loving, when we're feeling appreciative, what happens in life is we attract more of that to us because we start all the things in the universe that are vibrating at the level that would allow us to continue to feel that way. They start to vibrate and become attracted to us. If you walk in a room and there's someone over there and a lot of people are laughing and you like to laugh, you're attracted to the laughter. Some people hear the laughter and they go, oh, I don't want to be with those people. And they go over with the people that are commiserating over by the bar. And we've all seen that happen. And so we literally do attract toward each other at the same vibration. I remember being on Hawaii on a vacation and I noticed all the people wearing the Tommy Bahama shirts would all kind of gather together, you know. And all the people wearing the polo shirts, you know, the old money, they would gather together. And then you'd see the people with the t-shirts that said, drinking problem? I don't have a drinking problem. I get drunk, I fall down, I get back up again, no problem, right? And they would find each other. And if we want to be more successful, we have to begin to think and act like those people who are being more successful. You want to be thin? Hang out with the people that are thinner and do the things they're doing. Think the thoughts they think. You want to be spiritual? Hang out with the people that are more spiritual. You go to a retreat, go to church. And as you are attracted to people that are, I'll call it one level up. You know, if you're making $50,000 a year, you want to be thinking the kind of thoughts that a $100,000 a year person thinks. But how do you do that? You have to get into their sphere of influence. You have to think like they think. And you can read books about it. You can listen to audio programs about it. You can join those people and listen to their conversation. You know, as you're watching this program, you're in that sphere of influence. There's a vibration that's being created here. It's not about having stuff. It's about being in a state of consciousness that then attracts things that are at that same level of consciousness. So if I'm in a state of appreciation, in a state of love, I'm going to attract more things to appreciate and more things to love in my life. If I'm in a state of whining and complaining about how bad it is, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to attract more things, people, and situations to complain and whine about. So it's very critical that we become deliberate about the thoughts we think. Now I'm going to teach you how to do that. Now, thoughts are the most powerful things we have. It's a great tool. Remember in school when they said, think harder? Think harder. You'll figure this out. You go, like, how do you think harder, right? Many of us never really had classes on how do you think? You know, how to learn to control our thoughts. The thoughts you think today are creating the future you're going to have tomorrow. If you want to know what you were thinking a year ago, look at what's going on in your life right now. You've attracted that by the thoughts you were thinking. The only thing that's going to change your future is by choosing to think a different set of thoughts, choosing a different set of actions, choosing a different set of behaviors and what you say. That's the only thing that you have any control over is your thoughts, the imagination. You think about the pictures in your head and what you say and do. And so we have to realize that we are very much controlling our future and our own destiny by the thoughts we think. And you can learn to deliberately create whatever you want. Doesn't matter what your current situation is, you can change it. There are no limitations. There are only limitless possibilities in your life. And I know this is true because it's true in my own life. Little Jackie Canfield from Wheeling, West Virginia. And here I am today, this international celebrity. My mother was an alcoholic. My father was a workaholic. Came from a totally dysfunctional family. And I've been applying these principles since 1968 when I met my mentor named W. Clement Stone, who was worth $600 million. And he taught me how to think differently, taught me how to take action rather than hold back, taught me how to not listen to my doubts, but how to listen to my vision and to dream big and to believe that I could have my dream come true. So here I am, 2 Guinness Book World Records. I had 7 books on the New York Times list on one day, beating out Stephen King, who had 6 when he did The Green Mile. And another Guinness Book for having the largest book signing that ever happened. Now, I share that not to impress you, but to impress upon you the idea that if I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, I have literally sold over $1 billion worth of books, a Chicken Soup for the Soul series. You know, a book that was rejected by 144 publishers. And yet, because I practiced these principles, we persevered and were able to create an amazing result out there in the world. Everything's working for me. And it didn't start out that way. I was someone who was very negative. I didn't believe that I could achieve it. But because I ran into this mentor that taught me I could, my life went from very low to very high. I remember when I was eating 12-cent dinners. It was a can of tomato paste with garlic salt and water and spaghetti noodles. It just takes one piece of information, one choice to change your life, to turn it all around. So today we're going to talk about 3 principles of law of attraction. And then I want to talk to you about how to actually apply these into your life. And these are called ask, believe, and receive. You have to ask for what you want, you have to believe it's possible, and you have to open up to receive it. It's kind of like when they deliver the UPS package. If you're not there, they don't leave it at your door, you know? And so we have to be in the right space to have all these things that are coming into our life. A friend of mine called it your vibrational escrow. You have all these things that are lined up that you've wanted and desired and that have been set into motion for you to have. But if you're in a state of negativity, if you're in a state of anger, if you're in a state of judgment, if you're in a state of pushing people away because you don't like them, then what happens is it blocks the flow of this good stuff into your life. So we need to release all of that. Now, these principles can take you from wherever it is you are to wherever it is you want to go. And I've developed this step-by-step program that we call the Dream Big Collection, Living the Law of Attraction. And that's what's going to turn your life around if you allow yourself to use these principles into your life. Now, once you understand the law of attraction, there are several steps you can follow in order to begin living the life of your dreams. And these are simple tools and techniques that we're going to cover here in this program. Now, the first part of understanding this is you have to take 100% responsibility for your life. If you take law of attraction seriously, you realize that everything in your life, you have created it. You have to take responsibility. You're the one that has to visualize. You're the one that has to forgive. You're the one that has to do affirmations. You're the one that has to be clear about what you want and focus on all of those things. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to give up all blaming. Don't we just love to blame the government for why our life doesn't work? Or blame the terrorists or the Chinese or the Indians or the Saudis and the oil prices or the oil companies? We always want to blame somebody else. And if you're taking 100% responsibility, you realize I'm participating in either creating that or allowing it to continue. You also have to give up all complaining. How many of you have ever complained in your life? Yeah. You know? Here's what I've learned about complaining. In order to complain, I have to have a reference point of something better that I want that I'm not willing to risk creating. See, if I was complaining about my wife, it would mean that I would have to believe that somewhere out there in the world there's a better woman than my wife. If every woman on the planet died, except my wife, do you think I'd go to work the next day and complain about her? No. She's the only one. And I'd be going, hey, and I got her. This is really cool, right? Do you ever hear anyone complain about gravity? Very rarely. You know, gravity makes us all bend over. Do you ever see an old person walking down the street going, gravity? They have a little walker. I hate gravity. If it weren't for gravity, I wouldn't be all bent over like this. Gravity sucks. Now, have you ever heard an older person doing it? No, the reason they don't complain about gravity is because there's no alternative to it. You know, gravity just is. So if someone's complaining about something, it means they know there's something they can do about it, because we don't complain about the things we can't change. So as soon as you hear yourself complaining, I want you to stop and say, okay, what would I rather have? Remember, law of attraction always says focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Because when you're complaining and blaming, you're accelerating its expression out into the universe with those negative feelings. And yet we'll spend a majority of our time complaining about so many things. And usually we complain about them to people who can't do anything about it. Think about it. I go to work and I complain about my wife, and then I come home to my wife and I complain about the people at work. And neither person can do anything about the other. So what we have to do is engage the people that we want to have a different relationship with in some kind of interaction and shift our thoughts. One of the things you can do is start focusing on what you like about them, what's good about them. And remember, what you focus on expands. What you focus on, you get more of. And we see that all the time in relationships, where people will be in a situation where they're upset with their husband, and then all of a sudden they decide, well, I'm just going to focus on the good stuff. And all of a sudden, the good stuff starts to expand. There's more and more and more. And all of a sudden, people start falling in love with this person they've been judging. So giving up blaming, giving up complaining, giving up justifying, you want to give up defending positions that don't work, and give up all excuse making. Simply start looking at, what is it that I want to have? There's a young man that I wrote about named Matty Christensen, and if you could see a picture of Matty, you'd see that his right arm and his left arm both end at the elbow, and his legs end right around where you and I have knees. And he has prosthetic devices on both legs, and a prosthetic device on one arm that has a lacrosse stick at the end, and that is his pitching hand and his catching glove. And he plays Little League Baseball. And his team was number two in the state of New York, and he was the pitcher on that team in the Little League Championships. He said to me when I was interviewing him, he said, you know, Jack, he said, it's not something that you have to let run your life. He said, it's just something you have to solve. He said, you have to become solution-oriented no matter what. And I would ask you, what's your excuse? You know, what do you tell yourself is the reason you're not getting what you want? And so we focus on that negativity. He could have been very negative, and yet he chose to focus on the positive. So it's all about intention. It's all about expectation. It's all about belief. And I want to show you how powerful your mind is. How many of you have used the internet? Can I see a show of hands? Yeah. How many of you have used a cell phone? Isn't it interesting that we can send messages all the way around the world, and we can do it without wires? You know, we have these cellular phones, we have wireless internet. And how does that work? There's a wave that goes out through the air. It's picked up somewhere else, and it's interpreted, and it's sensed, it's perceived. And so every thought we think, every feeling we feel is sending out a similar vibration, a similar waveform. And we have research that shows that those waveforms can literally travel around the Earth. We know from a study that was done at NASA that we can send thoughts 250,000 miles, which is the distance to the moon, without amplification by any electronic equipment. They had students at Duke University close their eyes, And at the same time, on a predetermined time, they had an astronaut up in the space station or up in a lunar module. They would have him open up an envelope, and in that envelope would be a shape. And they would concentrate on that for a couple minutes, and the students back at Duke University would try to see what image would come through to them. And they had a very high level of correlation, proving that they were able to pick up this thought form, you know, 250,000 miles away. And here's a very interesting concept. Dr. John Hagelin posits that the power of a force field of a thought is the square of the number of people thinking the same thought at the same time. So if two of us are thinking the same thought, the power of that force field is 4. If 4 of us are thinking the same thought, the power of the force field is 16. If 100 people are thinking it, it's 10,000. So the more people that are aligned with a positive thought, upliftment, hope, positive intention for world peace or healing or whatever it might be. We see these prayer circles that occur in churches and then people get better. You see, this is the power of that thought working. It's the power of prayer being explained by quantum physics. You know, it's still God, but the point is we're understanding it. We call it science now. Mark Victor Hansen and I were the co-authors of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And one day we decided, let's see if we could sell 1 million books in one day. No one had ever done that before. Harry Potter's done it since. Now, when we decided that, we sent out this intention. Every day we meditated, the two of us. And about 30 days after we decided this, Mark and I were at the American Booksellers Association convention. And we're coming home, and I get on the bus, and I sat down next to this woman, and she said, "You're Jack Canfield." I was feeling pretty cocky. Wow, she knows my name. And then she said, "You're wearing your name tag." She could tell I was doing that. And then she said, "You're the chicken soup guy, right?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "What are you and Mark up to these days?" I said, "Well, we just decided we could sell 1 million books in one day, and that's our goal now." She said, "I can help you do that." I said, "Really? How would you help us do that?" She said, "Well, I'm the buyer for the W.H. Smith bookstores." And she said, "You know, we could do a signing in all the W.H. Smith bookstores. You have many co-authors that have helped you write your books," which we do. And she said, "We could put them all like in Maine and Boston and New York and Baltimore and Atlanta and Miami. We'll all start on the East Coast like at 6 a.m. doing signings, and we'll get you on planes. We'll fly you over to like Cleveland, and, you know, we'll just keep moving in Denver, and then eventually you'll be out in California by the time they're doing the nighttime traffic. And we'll get some hotels to work with us and an airline to work with us." And she said, "I bet we could sell 1 million books in one day." And I said, "Wow, why would you want to do that with us?" And that's when she called me dummy. She said, "If I sold 1 million books through the W.H. Smith bookstores in one day, don't you think that'd make me look like a hero?" And I said, "Got it." You know. Now, a lot of people would say, "Wow, you were lucky. You got to sit next to her on the bus." I say, no, that was the law of attraction working. As soon as we sent out that vision and we had numerous people focusing on it and believing in it, then what happened is we aggregate and start to attract to us the people, the resources, the opportunities, the ideas, the money, etc., that will allow us to achieve our goals. See, and that's working all the time, unless you enter in doubt. So when you have an intention and you enter in doubt, "Oh, I can't do that, I can't afford that, I'm not smart enough, I don't have a high enough IQ, I didn't meet anybody that can help me do that, etc.," then what happens is that you are canceling out the signal. It's like static in the cell phone message. Now, let's look at ask, believe, and receive. You have to ask for what you want. You have to know clearly what you want. Every time you have a desire, you are sending out a signal. But if you really want to amp it up and make sure it really becomes big, like a 50,000-watt radio station instead of a little ham radio, then what you have to do is get very clear, write down goals, clarify what it is you want, clarify your vision and your dream, and then make that into a practice where you're constantly focusing on that. Okay? So we want to talk about how do we clarify that. Because you can have anything you want in your relationships, you can have it in your abundance, you can have it in finance, you can have it in weight, you can have it in all areas of your life. So, let's take a look at that. First key, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. I had a coaching client who said, "Will you help me attract my perfect mate, my soulmate?" I said, "Great. Describe him to me." She said, "Well, I don't want someone who smokes. I don't want someone who spends his whole weekend watching TV. I don't want someone who's verbally abusive." And she went on like 5 things she didn't want. And I said, "Let me describe your last 5 boyfriends. See if I'm right. They smoked, they drank, they watched too much TV, they were..." "How'd you know?" I said, "Because you just told me." See, whatever you focus on you don't want, you keep attracting more of. So I said, let's describe what you do want. Well, I want someone who's loving, someone who's compassionate, someone who's healthy, someone who takes care of their body, someone who makes the relationship more important than entertainment, and so on and so forth. Then we were ready to move. Now, the other thing that I want to talk about when we talk about asking is you have to trust your desires and your preferences. Many of us have been taught not to want what we want. Oh, you shouldn't want that. Any of you hear that when you were a child? You shouldn't want that. You know, and the fact is we want what we want. And I'm going to tell you the law of attraction works in two ways. It's not only what do I want to attract into my life, but also what am I attracted to? Whatever you're attracted to is telling you this is something that if I follow that will take me in the direction I want to go in my life. And so you've got to trust those desires, trust those attractions, trust those intuitive impulses that take you where you want to go. So, two quick things about how we can create clarity about what we want. The first is to make a list of 101 goals of things you want to do, be, and have before you die. Now, I did this when I was about 47. I'm 63 right now. And I've achieved over 67 of the things on that list. And every year I pick three or four and I focus on them. 3% of Americans have measurable written goals for their life. Do you also know that 3% of the population owns 90% of the resources in this country? Do you think there might be a correlation? Research says there is. Do you know the average American watches 6 hours of television a day? If you watch 6 hours of television a day by the time you're 60, that's 15 years of television. Now, I love television. Television allows me to do this. But here's the deal. 6 hours a day is too much. Cut it down. 1 hour of TV taken away is 365 additional hours a year. That's 9.5 40-hour work weeks. Think about that. That's like having 2 extra months a year that you could be focusing on the kind of things we're talking about, personal development, etc. So, 101 goals. Now, how many of you have heard of Lou Holtz? Legendary football coach at Notre Dame. He's now on ESPN. He made a list of 107 goals when he was in his 20s. He'd lost his job. His wife came home and said, hey, honey, here's a book I saw at the supermarket. Maybe you could use this. So he writes down all his goals, incredible goals, fabulous goals, things like land a plane on an aircraft carrier, go underwater in a submarine, go on a river raft trip down the Snake River, parachute out of a plane, win a national football championship, eat dinner at the White House, appear on the Johnny Carson show. He had all these wonderful goals. His wife came home and said, honey, look at all these goals I wrote down. Thank you for that book. She says, let me read it. She reads it. She gets down. She says, honey, you need to add one more goal. He said, what's that? She said, write down 108, find a job. So I interviewed Lou for a book I was doing recently called You've Got to Read This Book. I asked people, was there a book that changed your life? And he said, yes, there was. And this was the book where he wrote down these goals. And he told me he's achieved 102 of his 108 goals. And the really cool part, he said, because I used to post my goals in the locker room at Notre Dame so that everyone would know what my goals are, and they would talk to me about them, keep me focused on them. One of my graduates came to me and said, hey, Lou, I'm in the Navy now. You want to do that land on an aircraft carrier thing? I'm in the Navy now. You want to go in a submarine? You know? So literally, when people know your goals, they can help you achieve them. When Kennedy said, put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, a whole bunch of people said, I'll play. When Gandhi said, let's get the British out of India, a lot of people said, I'll help you. When Mandela said, let's end apartheid, a lot of people said, I'll help you. We all want to help each other if we know what each other wants to do. Does that make sense? Okay. And I'm going to encourage you to create a vision for your life, to really get clear about if you could have anything at all, what would it be in the following 7 areas of your life? Because in order to have a full, balanced life, we need to have 7 areas. And most of us do tend to have some goals in the financial world, and we tend to have goals in the business side of our life. But few people tend to set goals and have a clear vision of what they want in the other side of their life. Most of us are responding to people. We're reacting rather than creating. And I have this saying that people who don't have goals end up working for people who do. And so we want to be clear about what it is we want. So I'm going to suggest there are these 7 areas. And the first area is financial. And that's the area of your life that has to do with money, obviously. How much money do you want to earn? How much profit do you want to have in your business? How much cash flow do you want to have? How much net worth do you want to have when you start to retire and so forth? A very sad statistic is the average American has a net worth of $25,000 when they retire. There's so much debt, so much credit card debt, and they haven't paid their house off and so forth. And then we have the idea of your career and your job and education. What do you want there? Do you want to be the top salesperson? Do you want to move into management? Do you want to open up China as a market? Do you want to get a nursing degree or an MBA degree? Something like that. Do you want to change jobs? Think about this, changing jobs. Recent research shows that 50% of Americans are unhappy in their job. So what would be your ideal job? If you're not happy, you must have some reference of what you'd rather have. Recreation and fun is the third area. What hobbies? What sports? Do you want to play golf or tennis? Do you want to learn to scuba dive? Whatever it might be. Where would you like to travel to? How many vacations do you want to take? Did you always want to take salsa dancing lessons or tango lessons or ballroom dancing lessons? And then the fourth area is our health, our body, our fitness. Most people don't have a vision of what they really want in that area. But maybe you'd like to be pain-free, or you'd like to get rid of some chronic illness you have. Most people in America feel they weigh more than they'd like to. But what is your vision of your exact ideal body weight? What is that for you? Do you want to run a marathon or a 10K? You know, what is it that you want to have happening in your body? The fifth area is relationships. This is an extremely important area in our life. Maybe you want to heal a relationship with a parent or a sister or a brother. Maybe you'd like to get along better with your teenage son or daughter. Maybe you'd like to have more friends. I remember when I moved to Santa Barbara, I didn't have any friends. Moved up from L.A. and I didn't know anybody. I lived in this nice little estate where I didn't have to go off the property for much of anything. I wasn't meeting anybody. So my goal for the year was to make 5 new male friends. And I did that by going out and having lunches with people and meeting people. Became friends with the sheriff of Santa Barbara and the police chief and the wrestling coach at UCSB and different people like that. But it was a result of having a vision of what I wanted, more male friends in my life. The sixth area is personal. And personal refers to things like, what are your spiritual goals? What are your educational goals? How many books do you want to read this year? What do you want to do in terms of personal development and growth? Things like that. What do you want to own? This is where possessions would go. You know, I've always wanted to own this kind of car. Remember, I always wanted to have a pool table. And the seventh area is contribution. What contribution would you like to make? What legacy would you like to live? Do you want to volunteer? Do you want to have a philanthropic thing you're doing? Do you want to start a foundation maybe when you're older? Things like that. What is your philanthropic legacy goals? And what I find is that most people don't really think too clearly about that. They haven't decided, where would I like to really make a difference? And there's a friend of mine named Kenneth Baring that my wife and I met at a award ceremony that we both attended. And he was worth $500 million. And he gave a speech and he talked about the 4 stages of his life. And he said that he first started out, he thought if he had a lot of stuff, he'd be happy. So he made a lot of money and bought a lot of stuff. Had the car, the boat, the plane, the house, all that stuff. And he wasn't happy. And he said, well, maybe I need better stuff. So he bought a better house, a better plane, a better car, things like that. And he still wasn't happy. And he said, well, maybe I'm buying the wrong stuff. And that's when he bought a professional football team. He thought, well, if I own a professional football team, certainly I'd be one of the guys and I'd be very happy. And he owned the team. Still wasn't happy. And then one day a friend of his called him up and said, you know, I'm going to go over to Europe and I'm going to take some wheelchairs and we're going to give them to kids who've lost their limbs in landmines and were born that way and so forth. Would you like to come? He said, sure, I'll go. So he gets on the plane, they fly over, and he's taking some of these kids and he's beginning to pick them up and put them into wheelchairs. And there was this one 11-year-old boy that he picked up, and he picked him up and he put him in a wheelchair, and he started to move and the boy wouldn't let go of his leg. And so he looked back and through an interpreter the boy said, please don't leave yet. He said, okay, why? And the boy said, I want to memorize your face. He said, because when we meet again in heaven, I want to thank you one more time. And he said that moment was the first time in his life he felt pure joy. And it came out of service. He'd had all the stuff and all the awards and all the honors. But he said, in that moment, my life changed. He came home and he started the Kenneth Baring Wheelchair Foundation. And he's given away 40,000, maybe more than that now, wheelchairs around the world. And now he's taking on the whole issue of water. Because when he was in Africa, he found that kids don't have good water. They get cholera and their eyes get bad and so forth. And so now they're building lots of wells. So the point is that we have this opportunity to make a difference. So make sure you have a vision for that as well, because that's where the true fulfillment's going to come from. Now, when you do your vision, I want you to dream really big. And General Wesley Clark, who used to be the head of NATO, said it doesn't take any more time or effort to dream a big dream than it takes to dream a small dream. So why not dream big? Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. And so if you have the capacity to think up that dream, you have the capacity to fulfill it. Many of you had dreams as children that you kind of put to the side. So I want you to take those dreams out again. The next step that I want to talk to you about is what we call goals. You've got a vision, and you now know that these are the seven areas of your life and what you want. But in order to make it real, you've got to have goals. Measurable in time and space. How much by when? I want a big house on the ocean is not a goal. I don't know how big is. Some people will say, well, I want more money. And I'll open up my wallet and I'll give them 20 bucks. And I'll go, no, I want it more than that. Well, how is anyone going to know, right? But if someone says, I want $10,000, at least we know exactly what they're asking for. And so we want to be clear. A 5,000 square foot house on Pacific Coast Highway in California on the Pacific Ocean by June 15th, whatever year you want to have it by. So I'd like to double my income and become, I will earn $200,000 by midnight, December 31st, 2009, right? I want to be a millionaire. I'll have a net worth of $1 million by midnight, December 31st, 2010. I'd like to spend more time with my husband. Might be, I'll take 3 week long vacations with my husband by October 30th and put in the year by when you want to do that. I'm going to lose weight and get fit. I'll weigh 190 pounds by June 15th, 2009. So be very, very specific. And that's a big place where people get in trouble. And by the way, this thing about lose weight, stop saying lose weight. Do you ever notice when something's lost, what do you want to do? You want to find it. And haven't most of you lost 40 pounds and then found it again? Right? So state it. Again, not what you don't want, what you do want. I want to weigh this amount of pounds or kilograms or whatever by this date. Okay? So be very specific. Now, you do not have to know how you're going to achieve this goal. All you have to do is set it. Then the how will start to show up. How many of you know what a GPS system is in a car? What happens is that you just go in the car and you type in the address you want, and then the car figures out the directions. See, that's the way the universe works. There's a big GPS system in the sky. As soon as you decide what it is you want, your brain, your subconscious, starts to figure out how to do it. And also, you're getting the guidance from this higher power, call it God, universe, source, infinite intelligence, the quantum field, doesn't matter what we call it, it's working all the time, and it will guide you, and it will bring to you, and it will give you guidance in terms of things like, you'll feel joy when you're on course, you'll feel uncomfortable and miserable when you're not, like when you're in that job, you're miserable, that's information, you're off course, this is not going to give you what you want in life that's going to fulfill you. And so, once we set this target, our subconscious mind will start figuring things out. It'll also program your brain to start seeing things that were always there that will help you achieve your goals. Now, in this Dream Big collection, The Key to Living the Law of Attraction, I'm going to take you step by step through discovering your life purpose, your passion, your vision, and your goals, and how to bring that into action. And we're going to use a vision book, which I'll talk about just a little bit later, which will help you keep focused on that which you have committed to, that which is aligned with your purpose, that which is going to give you the greatest fulfillment and joy in your life. And this works for anyone. If you're a teenager, a kid, or an adult, this works. It's worked for me, it's worked for my family. It'll work for you. Now, the second principle of the law of attraction is believe. Believe means I have no doubts. I remember talking to Pete Rose, the baseball player, and I asked him, when you go up to bat, how often do you expect to get a hit? Now, in baseball, if you hit 3 out of 10, you're batting 300. That's pretty good, right? He said, every single time, I expect to get a hit. He said, if I didn't expect to get a hit, I shouldn't be up there. So expectation and no doubt and belief is critical. And I'm going to suggest to you a term that you think about for your life called become an inverse paranoid. A paranoid is someone who thinks the world's plotting to do them harm, right? The world's out to get me. An inverse paranoid believes the world is out to do you good. It believes in a beneficent universe. It says the world's on my side. It's looking out for me. And I learned this from my mentor, W. Clement Stone, who was my, you know, 600 millionaire mentor back in Chicago when I was in my early 20s. And he introduced me to the law of attraction. He introduced me to positive thinking, to expectancy way back then. He was the guy who coined the term, if life hands you a lemon, squeeze it and make lemonade. And so we want to have this positive belief that anything is possible. And it's simply a choice. I was working in New York with some real estate agents during the subprime crisis that was facing America. There was one guy who was doing 400% better than everyone else. And I said, how do you do this? He says, oh, I just tell myself, I make money no matter what the market's doing. And because he believes it, he creates it. And so the reality is we can create anything we want if we believe in it. My favorite story that illustrates this is about a guy, his name was Cliff Young. And in 1983, when he was 61 years old, he showed up at a race. It's the Sydney to Melbourne race. It's 875 kilometers. That's about 650 miles. And it's normally a 6.5 day race. It's considered one of the hardest endurance races you can possibly do. And most people that run this are like 30 or younger. And he shows up to a field of 120 runners, and he's wearing Oshkosh overalls. He's got on construction boots with galoshes on top of them because he said it might rain. And he's wearing a baseball cap. Everyone else is wearing Nike, Puma, Asics, running gear. They're all ready to go. And they said, sir, you can't run this race. You'll have a heart attack. Have you ever run a marathon before? No. Well, what makes you think you can do this? He said, well, I'm a farmer. And we have a 2,000-acre farm. I have 2,000 sheep. And up until 2 years ago, we never had any farm equipment because we couldn't afford it. And when a storm was coming, I would go out with my dog, and we would herd up 2,000 sheep. Sometimes it would take us 2 or 3 days to get them all into a safe place, and I never slept. So I think I can do this. Well, they didn't take him very seriously, but they decided to let him run. They thought he'd probably drop out after the first day and they didn't care about it too much. And the first day, everyone takes off and, you know, boom, the gun goes off and everyone's running real fast. And here's Cliff. It's what they called the Cliff Young Shuffle. What happened was he was way behind. And the first day, you know, everyone went to sleep and, you know, he was still running and they woke up and they started running. He was way behind. But see, Cliff had an advantage that nobody knew about. The advantage was he'd never read a book about running. He'd never read Runner's World magazine. He'd never talked to an elite runner, never talked to a coach. He didn't know that when you do this kind of race, you're supposed to run for 18 hours, sleep for 6. Run for 18, sleep for 6. So when everyone went to bed, he was so far behind, no one was there to tell him to go to bed. So he just kept on running. He ran nonstop for 5.5 days and broke the record by 9 hours. So sometimes your belief about what you think is true is the thing that's keeping you stuck. You know, nobody thought anyone could break the 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister did it. And then the next year, 11 people did it. Now they knew it was possible. There's a wonderful quote that says, never tell anyone something cannot be done. God may have been waiting for centuries for somebody ignorant enough of the impossible to do that very thing. So think about it. You may be that person. Starting today, you could do anything you want in your life. I have a wonderful story about a kid I met. His name's Farah Gray. He's 19 years old. He'd written a book called The Realionaire. And when he was 11, he started his first business in Chicago. He's a kid living in the Cabrini-Green Projects, which is one of the worst ghettos in America. And his mom was on welfare, and he decided he wanted to help her because she was working sometimes 2 and 3 jobs. She'd had a heart attack. She wasn't feeling very well, and he wanted to contribute. So he started finding rocks around the neighborhood and sanding them. He'd paint them then, and he'd make them into bookends and paperweights. Then he'd go out to the edge of the ghetto and sell them for people who could afford them. And he made $50 his first day, which was a lot more than his mother was making, you know, scrubbing floors and doing all of that. He starts getting other kids to help him. And pretty soon he's got 11 or 12 kids. They're all sanding rocks. He's giving them 50 cents of, you know, every dollar they make, and he's keeping the other half. He's an entrepreneur. And then he started another business where he took kids and he got wagons and he would go to older people in the community that couldn't go to the grocery store and he would help them carry their groceries back with the wagons and charge them a dollar or something like that. And then he was splitting the 50 cents to each kid and so forth. And then he started something called the Urban Neighborhood Education Economic Council. And this was called UNEEQ. And he would get businessmen to come in and help him teach the other kids business principles, and he would learn them as well. And by the time he was 14, he'd read a book by Deepak Chopra teaching another very important principle of the law of attraction. It was called the 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. And one of them was, do what you love. If it's hard, if it's not something you love, if it's not easy, if it's not your natural ability or your talent, you shouldn't be doing it. And it first made him angry. He said, that's ridiculous. My mom works really hard. Everyone I know works hard, and they're not doing well. I don't agree with this. But he kept thinking in his head, maybe there's something there. And one day he decided, okay, what do I love? What am I good at? He said, I love kids and I love food. He said, well, what do I know kids love about food? Kids love sweets. So he created this syrup. It was an old recipe from his grandmother, and he started making it and taking it to the local grocery stores, and it caught on. And at the age of 15, he sold his company for $1.5 million. A kid in the ghetto, no high school education. Then he moves to Las Vegas, where he starts a newspaper for street people. He starts a radio show, and he opens up a real estate brokerage. And now he gives speeches, and all the funds go to helping kids get out of the ghetto by learning these principles. But my point of this, he believed from the very beginning he could do anything he wanted. It never occurred to him he couldn't. And if you're a black kid in Chicago and you're 14 years old, most people wouldn't say, hey man, you can be a millionaire in a year and a half. But he did. And I can tell you story after story of people. Dr. Ruth Simmons, the president of Brown University, first African-American president of any Ivy League university. And she was one of 11 sharecropper children in Texas, and now she did that. Kelly Perkins, a woman who had a heart transplant and has climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Fuji, Mount Whitney after her heart transplant. Everyone said it was impossible. Can't be done. Jean-Dominique Bobby, he's the person, they now have a movie about him. It was called The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. But here's a guy who was paralyzed in his whole body. All he could do was blink one eye. And yet he had a secretary come in after they finally realized he was in there. They thought he was in a coma. And one nurse one day said, if you can understand all this, blink. And he did. And blink again, he did. She would bring in a chart of all the letters in the alphabet. And she'd start pointing to him one at a time. And when he'd get to the one he wanted to type, he would blink an eye. He wrote an entire book that way. Two paragraphs a day. He'd compose all night and then blink, 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 blink all day long. And yet he wrote a best-selling book. So even with all of that, he was able to believe he could still make a contribution by sharing his inner journey with the world. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. So let me introduce the next principle to you. It's part of believe. And see, here's the thing. Belief is more than a concept. When you take action, it implies that you believe. In other words, if I said that I'm going to do a seminar tonight and I'm going to teach all of you to levitate, most of you wouldn't sign up because you go, I've never seen it. I've never heard it's possible. I don't think I'm going to waste my time. So you have to believe it's possible in order to be willing to take action. So your taking action is actually an act of faith. It's a statement that I believe this is going to happen. So action is a critical part of law of attraction. If you take the word attraction, what are the last six letters in that word spell? A-C-T-I-O-N, action. Take the word satisfaction. In Latin, satis means enough. Action. Enough action creates satisfaction. So too many people think if I do the law of attraction, I simply have to sit here, visualize, get into a nice harmonic state of love and joy and peace and all that. And then that Cadillac I want is just going to drive right up on my driveway. Unless you live in one of those streets where there's a street coming in like that and someone's brakes fail, it's probably not going to happen, right? Not just going to drive up. We do have to take action. And there's two kind of actions that are critical to success in regards to law of attraction. The first is obvious, and we call it obvious actions. You want to be a doctor, you better study biochemistry and anatomy, and you're going to go to medical school, and you're going to take boards and all that, right? So what happens is that you've got to do those obvious things. But here's the kicker. There's another area where you have to act, and we call those inspired actions. When the inspiration occurs, you have to act on it. Now, many of you know this movie, The Secret, and the fact that I was in it. And there is an organization I started called the Transformational Leadership Council. There was no professional association for people who own transformational training companies. And so I asked 30 people to come to my living room and see if we wanted to start such an organization. Now, it took me 3 years to work up the courage to do that. I won't say I acted on it instantly. Okay? What I'm learning is to shorten the lag time. You have the inspiration. Take the action. Anyway, I finally decided I'm going to take the action and I'm going to follow this inspiration because no one else was doing it. And we started the Transformational Leadership Council. And then Rhonda Byrne called and said, we're making a movie. Can we come and film at your group? Because there's several people there I'd like to interview. And 15 of us at that organization got to appear in the movie The Secret. And I'm one of them. And if I hadn't started that organization, I don't know for sure that I would have been in that movie. And that movie radically changed my life in terms of my ability to travel around the world and be on TV and do many other things that go way beyond what I was doing with Chicken Soup for the Soul. So by acting on that inspiration, my life shifted. How many of you have had a good idea, thought it was a cool idea, didn't act on it, and then found out a year later someone else acted on it and was very successful with it? Yeah, it's time to stop doing that, okay, for me as well as you. So when you have an inspiration, act on it. Because what's going to happen as soon as you have this goal and you say, I want this, then you've set that out. The universe is now responding. It's bringing you what you need. But it may show up in ways that are very different than what you think. You may say, I want a certain kind of car. And then you're sitting here and you're typing something and all of a sudden you get this inspiration that you should go down to Mrs. Jones, whose husband just died, and bring her some cookies. And you go, oh, I don't have time for that. And you don't do it. But had you gone down to Mrs. Jones and brought her some cookies, and you gone in and say, here, I brought these for you. She said, oh, I'd like you to meet my nephew. And you start talking to the nephew. You find out he's a Mercedes dealer. And they have this car they're starting to get rid of because they have too many on the lot and they're willing to sell it for a third of the price. But because you didn't act on that intuition to take the cookies down there, you missed the opportunity. When those inspirations occur, act on them. It's critical. Another thing is to not let other people talk you out of your goal. One of my favorite stories is this guy named Dr. Ignatius Piazza, who was a chiropractor. And he wanted to go and start a practice in the Monterey area. And the local chiropractic association said, we don't need any more chiropractors here. And he said, well, that's kind of weird. But he didn't want to let that stop him. Because remember, he had a vision. He knew he wanted to be there. And he was convinced he was going to make it happen. And he said, okay, how can I do this? And he got this idea that instead of opening his office immediately, he would delay it 6 months. But during that 6 month time, he drew a pin about where he wanted his office to be on the map. And he drew concentric circles around it. And for 6 months, he went from door to door, from 8 in the morning until someone said, don't you think it's a little too late to be knocking on doors? And he would say, hi, I'm a new doctor in town. I just moved here. I'm opening up a practice. Could I ask you a few questions? And they would say, sure. He would say, should I open up in the morning like from 7 till 9, or should I be open from 5 till 7 for people who have 9 to 5 jobs? Which do you think would be better? Should I advertise in this newspaper or that newspaper? And he went on asking a series of questions. And his last question was, when we have an open house, would you like to receive an invitation? And then when he decided it was time, he sent out all the invitations. They had a circus tent out in the parking lot. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people came. Now in that town, he knocked on 12,500 doors, talked to over 6,500 people. In his first month in practice in a town that did not need another chiropractor, he made $72,000. He went on that year to gross over $1 million because he was willing to trust his intuition, act on it, and take that inspiration and put it into action. And you have that same capability to do that. Mike Millihorn lives down in Texas, a friend of mine. I interviewed him for one of my books as well. And he said that he wanted to get some money for his kids to go to school. He didn't like the school system, thought they should go to private school. So now what has he done? He set an intention. Ask, law of attraction, right? He now is in the state of believing something's going to show up. Now, he's an Avery label salesman at the time, and he goes into the restaurants, and they say, could you print these labels with the names of the week on them, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So when we buy vegetables and we put them in the refrigerator, we know that these came in on Monday, so we're going to use those before the ones that came in on Tuesday, and we'll keep everything fresh. And now we do it with a marker, and sometimes the humidity makes it run. Could you get Avery to do that? So he goes back to Avery, and they say, no, we're not a printer. We're a label maker. So he decides, I'll take the labels. I'll print on them. And he gets a printing press, and he puts it in his garage, and he gets his kids to help, and pretty soon they're printing all these labels. And eventually, they're printing so many labels and making so much money, he decides to quit his job with Avery, and he starts this company called Day Dots. And he just sold his company a few years ago for tens of millions of dollars. All he wanted to do was make enough money for his kids to go to private school. So you do not have to know the how. Just know what you want. Have a clear goal. Solutions will start to show up. Now, you can drive from here to Phoenix, and you can do the whole thing in the dark. And isn't it funny? You only see the next 100 yards in front of you. But as long as you see that and drive that, then the next 100 yards shows up. And you drive that, the next 100 yards shows up. You do not need to see more than the first couple steps. When we started Chicken Soup for the Soul, we had no idea it was going to become a national brand. We had no idea it would become a magazine. We had no idea it would become a talk show. We had no idea that we would have a 5-minute show on radio where they would have a syndicated thing going on or a syndicated column in the newspaper. Or God knows we never thought we would end up with a pet food. Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover, Soul Dog and Cat Food. Who knew? You know? But we do. And you know, you just take your first step. We wrote that first book. We intended it to be a bestseller. It became a bestseller. Then the next thing and the next thing. Now, what we know is there are two kinds of action you can take. There's the outer action that we talked about. You know, start the group, put the names of the days on the labels, etc. But there's also inner action. And what we now know is true is that 1 hour of inner action, meditation, visualization, working on your thinking, is equal to 7 hours of outward behavior. Because you're going to attract more to you with that work than all the effort you're going to be doing. Does that make sense? So we call this the action journey and the emotional journey. You want to focus on keeping your emotions high, keeping your thoughts high, as well as taking all the obvious actions out there in the world. So the most important thing is what you learn, not just to sit around and wait, but do the inner work. It's important to do that work. And then do the outer work. So the Dream Big Collection, the Key to Living Law of Attraction, shows you the techniques and provides you with the tools so that you can take action immediately and do the daily things that you need to do. Because success is a day-by-day process. It's not something where you go and you work out for 5 hours on a Saturday. Think about this. If you cut out one soda a day, it's about 120 calories. That's like fasting every 10 days. It's those little things building up over time that get you successful. The daily meditation, the daily gratitude journal, etc. So dream big, and you can make those dreams a reality. It's easy to do. That brings us to the third principle. The third principle is to receive. Receive talks about creating a vibrational match for that which you want. You've got to become a vibrational match. So think about this. Gratitude, very important. If you just gave me $1 million, what do you think I'd feel? I'd feel good. I'd feel gratitude. I'd feel secure, knowing my financial security is a little better than it was before. I'd feel excited, right? So you want to feel the feelings you're going to feel when you get it before you get it. You want a certain car? Go down to the dealership and test drive that car. So you know what it feels like to own it. I can't afford a Mercedes. If I walk in there, they're going to kick me out. They'll know I'm a fake. I remember going down to Rodeo Drive and looking at some of the stores and thinking, if I go in there, they're going to throw me out. But the fact is, until you put it on, until you try it, until you walk through that house, go to the open houses, test drive the cars, you know, close your eyes and feel the feeling of a standing ovation if you're an actor or if you're a speaker. I remember sitting in the audience as an educator, and there was 10,000 people in the audience. Some guy gave a keynote speech, and I thought, wow, someday I want to do that. So I walked up after everyone left the room, and I stood at the podium, and I pretended I was giving a speech to 10,000 people. And that's what we're talking about. Feel those feelings. Now, you want to feel the feelings of joy, of abundance, forgiveness. You want to feel abundant in terms of finance, abundant in terms of friends. Just really act as if you already have it. And this gratitude thing is so important. You know, John DeMartini says, I don't get out of bed until I have a tear of gratitude running down my face. I asked him, how long does that usually take? He said, it might take 30 minutes someday, but I don't want to go into the day until I'm in that state. When Rhonda Byrne wrote The Secret, she said, all I did was sit there and be so grateful for everything in my life until I had a tear. And then I ran to the typewriter and I wrote, because when I was in that state, everything flowed through me. So we have to practice gratitude. Take time each day. And one of the things that I want to encourage you to do is keep a gratitude journal. Every day, write down the things you're grateful for. Esther Hicks teaches when you go out into the world every day, have a rampage of gratitude, a rampage of appreciation. Everything you look at, appreciate it. A friend of mine, Byron Katie, she said she fell on the floor. And she said, I'm on the floor and I'm thinking, I love this floor. This floor is so solid. You know, this floor is always here. It never leaves, you know. It never judges me, you know. She said, I can count on it being there. It's not like some men I know in my life, you know. But the point is that everything, look for what is it to be grateful for in that. And what you'll find as you go through life, all the things you resented in the past, every one of those things had a gift in it. And when you find the gift and you really receive the gift, then all the pain dissolves and you move into a much higher state. So always be looking for the gift. Another way to create a vibrational match. Focus on acting as if you already have it. Like I remember when I bought a suit I couldn't afford. So I started acting as if I was already wealthy. One of my favorite stories was a kid at a bank down in Santa Monica where I used to live. And I'd walk in there, and most of the tellers were all wearing these kind of string ties at that time, or no tie at all. And it was this one teller, he looked like a bank president. And a year later, I went in there, he was now a manager. He was dressing the part. He was acting as if he was already management. And so the idea being that you want to step into and act as if. One of my favorite act as if techniques is to throw a come as you'll be party. What if we had a party where every one of you came, and for the next hour, we'd all have to be who we were 5 years from now, we would have achieved all of our goals. So you're already a millionaire, you've already lost your weight, you've already won the marathon, you've already got your Emmy, your song's been a bestseller, your kids are all graduated, you've started that retreat center, and you just walk around as if you've already done it. And that's the coolest thing, because what happens is, as you're walking around pretending you've done all this, you're feeling the feelings, and everyone else is going, great job, way to go, I'm so proud of you. And we have people carry around book covers of books they've written, and one guy came to one of these parties, he was carrying his cell phone, about every 5 minutes it would go off, and he'd say, oh man, Jennifer, leave me alone. No, no, come on. And it would ring again about 20 minutes later, Jennifer, I told you it's over, I know I'm the best lover you ever had, I know it was great, you know. He'd hang up again. Then her phone would ring 30 minutes later. I told you I'm at a party. J-Lo, leave me alone. You know? And he'd had this huge crush on Jennifer Lopez, so he was pretending he'd already been in the relationship and was over it, you know? It's so important to find ways to build up that emotional energy field, what some people call your attractor field. How strong is this magnetic field? And the stronger your emotions are, the more powerful the attractor field will be. And that's just a wonderful way to do it. Your emotions are the gas that move the car. It's the petroleum in there that's making it all happen. It's the fuel that gives it the rocket propulsion that you want to have in your life. So it's not just thinking the thoughts, but feeling those feelings. Another technique is to create affirmations. An affirmation is a statement that affirms that you've already achieved it. So you might say, I'm standing in the middle of my lanai overlooking the sunset on Kaanapali Bay in Maui. You know, you're already there. You're describing it. You know, I'm driving my new Ferrari down Pacific Coast Highway. I'm happily receiving my award from the university for being the professor of the year. I'm reveling in my $1 million a year after-tax personal revenue. I'm enjoying looking at my physically fit 185-pound body in the mirror. Or as one of my students goes, I'm feeling alive at 185. You know, you can have some fun with it. Do the affirmations every day. I like to take all of my goals and then write an affirmation for each one as if it's complete. Then I go through in the morning, I look at it, close my eyes, read it to myself, then I visualize having it, and I feel the feelings of what it would be like. And that really moves me. You want to affirm the outcome, not the process. You don't have to worry about how. Remember, the universe will take care of the how. You know, let go and let God release it to the universe. It'll happen. And this vision books we talked about, I want you to use a vision book. I want you to create something that'll keep you focused. I'll send students over to the car dealership, and you go in with your camera, and you sit in the car, and you put your head out the window, and you wave. And you have the person that works there take your picture. And you say, I'll be back to get this in a couple months. Right? Then you take it home, you put it on your refrigerator, or you take a little picture of it, put it on your vision book, and then what happens is every morning you get up and you see this picture of you in the Mercedes, or you in the Lexus, or you in whatever luxury car you're attracted to. What happens is that starts to activate the belief and the feeling that it's happening to you. Keep it by your bed, put it on your dresser, put it next to your mirror in the bathroom, and you can get pictures from Google Images, you can get them from magazines, you know, buy some magazines that have all the cool stuff you want. And one of the neat things is, that when your husband or wife's deciding what to get you for a birthday present, and they see that nice diamond ring up there, they go, oh, that's the one she wants, you know? So there's a lot of value and benefit when you use it. You know, my vision book has pictures of a Time magazine cover that says 1 billion sold, and it's about chicken soup for the soul. We just had a Time magazine cover mocked up and then shrunk it down, put it in there. I've got pictures of me with my wife in Africa, traveling around the world with my kids and so forth. And you can take and you can use Photoshop, put yourself in front of the Eiffel Tower, all kinds of cool stuff, and then put the words and all that there. And then do the visualization part. As you look at your vision board, close your eyes. Feel the feelings, see yourself doing it as if you're looking out through your own eyes. You're already there. It's already happening. You know, don't look at yourself climbing the Eiffel Tower. Look at what you would see out through your eyes as you were climbing the Eiffel Tower. So you see it from the inside. It's called associated imagery versus disassociated imagery. And a lot of people say, well, I don't see things very well when I close my eyes. Just kind of blank in there. You don't have to. Just think you're seeing it. Just kind of make it up. And that's enough to make it work. Patrick Taylor was an oil man, made a lot of money with Taylor Oil. And so he wanted to give back to the community. He found a bunch of kids. These were all kids that were all dropping out of schools, a middle school in the ghetto, and 84% dropout rate. And he went in and he said, I've got to teach them to do what I know to do, visualize what you want. None of these kids were graduating and going to college. So he got a bus, he rented the bus, took them all out to college, assigned each one to a student, and these students took the kids around all day long, and they got to be on college for a day. Now when they went back to school, they had an image of what it was like to be a college student. And then for the next 5 years, every single morning, the teacher said, close your eyes, visualize going to college. In 5 years, the dropout rate in that school went from 84% dropout rate to a 16% dropout rate. And all those kids ended up going to college. Now, one other thing. Patrick Taylor made him a promise. He said, if you graduate from high school and you have a B average and you don't get arrested for a felony, I'll pay for your college education. Now what do they have? They had a vision and did they have a belief? A positive expectation of what's going to happen? Absolutely. This was such an effective program that the state of Louisiana adopted it statewide. Any kid below a certain poverty level that graduates with a B average and has a 96% attendance record and doesn't have a felony record, the state will pay for them to go to college. And the other thing that happens, when you visualize what it is you want, it's going to open up the doors of perception. You're going to start seeing things you never saw before. Let me show you how that works. Right now, you're not aware of what you're feeling in your right foot. But as soon as I say right foot, can you feel it? You were getting information coming up the leg into your brain the whole time through what we call the reticular activating system right here, was filtering it out because it was not important. Well, you're seeing things all day long that can help you be successful, but because you haven't programmed your brain through visualization, it doesn't open up the door of perception to let that in. Just like right now, you're not aware of what you're feeling in your right hand, but as soon as I say it, when you put your awareness on it long enough, you start feeling your right hand. Well, that's what happens with visualization. It's very, very powerful. So we're going to what? We're going to visualize. We're going to use the affirmations. We're going to use the vision book. Here's one of the combination lock numbers that most people don't realize. You must, if you're going to make this work, do these disciplines for a minimum of 30 days without interruption. This is where most people fail. They read the books, they do the exercises, they go to the seminars, they start, and then about 15 or 16 days into it, they skip a couple of days, then they start again a little more, then they skip some days, and it never quite happens. And here's why. There was a study done at NASA where they had astronauts wear lenses that made the world appear upside down. They had to wear them for 30 days, and they couldn't take them off, even when they were sleeping, taking showers, etc. Now imagine trying to negotiate the world, everything's upside down. You're trying to shake hands with me up there, but I'm down here. Doesn't work. It was very disconcerting. They did it to see how they would handle the disorientation that would take place in outer space. Would they be able to handle that? Would they become grumpy? Would they lose sleep? Would they become nauseous? Would they become hostile? Whatever. And what they did discover was that about 25 days into the experiment, remember, they're getting this ocular image upside down in the brain, their brain shifted the image right side up. Wow. Took 25 days, 25 to 30 days, right in that period, different day for each astronaut, and the brain rewired itself. Now, they said, this is interesting. Let's do another experiment. So they took a second group of astronauts, and after about 15 days, they had one half of the group take their goggles off for a day, put them back on day 16, and then continue the experiment. It took them another 25 to 30 days before the phenomenon of this switching upside down occurred. What does that tell us? It tells us if you're going to build a habit that actually changes the way the brain functions, the way it perceives, the way it takes action, the way it understands things and moves into the world, uses the law of attraction, you must do it for 30 days without interruption. Once you do that, then it becomes part of your normal rewiring, if you will, of your brain. So I want to talk about another thing that you want to focus on, and that is joy. Every day, have a joy segment. Literally, just like, you know, we're going to watch the news at 5 o'clock or something, have an hour of joy. I was up in Canada. I was on a TV show, and this woman was there, and she said she hadn't been happy in 5 years. And I said, well, what happened 5 years ago? She said, my husband died. And I said, well, what did you used to do before your husband died that made you happy? She said, well, I used to paint, I used to garden, I used to play the piano. She gave me like 5 or 6 things. I said, have you done any of those things in the last 5 years? She said, no. I said, I want you to go home and I want you to paint, I want you to garden, and I want you to play the piano, and write me in a month, tell me what happened. 1 month later, she writes me and says, I'm happy again. The only thing that changed is she started doing the things that made her happy. And when you're in that state of joy, you're in a state of attraction. So find time every day to do whatever that might be for you. Hopefully it's not all shopping, but, you know. But basically, you know, if it's petting the cat, gardening, reading novels, listening to your favorite music, whatever it might be, do that. And then start to look at using joy as a feedback system. If I'm at work and I'm not happy, you know, we all have days where we have to do things, stay up till midnight to get a job done and things like that. But if there's this consistent sense of I'm not happy here, that's your body's way of saying this isn't what we're supposed to be doing. When I wrote my last book, I did 16-hour days. Sometimes I'd be typing and I'd hear the birds singing and I'd look over and it was 7 in the morning and I'd been typing since 7 the previous night. I was in a trance. I was working hard, but it didn't feel like work. It was fun. And I contend that each of you has a natural ability, a unique ability, natural talent, that when you're doing that, you're happy and it makes money if you'd figure out how to monetize it. Many of you are doing things for free that you could actually get paid for. It's what you love to do. Tiger Woods gets paid to play golf. How cool is that? You know, find the thing you love to do. Find your passion. And that last thing with this feeling part is, whenever you're not feeling good, you're not feeling joy, ask yourself, what thought am I thinking? And it's usually simply by changing a thought. Let's say your husband forgets your birthday and you're feeling miserable. You're probably thinking, my husband doesn't love me. He forgot my birthday. What if you just changed that thought to, someone who loves me forgot my birthday? changes the whole inner experience. Surround yourself with positive people. Watch positive television. Read positive books. Only go to movies that are going to uplift you. You know, if you can read it and go, oh, I don't want to see that, don't go. And if a television show makes you all upset, stop watching it. Okay? The news. Have you ever noticed it's the same news every night? Just different names? You know, unless your business depends on knowing all that stuff, stop it. Read something uplifting. Okay? Now, let me share with you how I applied these principles in my own life. When I was working for W. Clement Stone, he said, I want you to set a goal that's so big and so high that if you achieve it, it will absolutely blow your mind. At the time, I was making $8,000 a year as a high school teacher. And so I said, okay, if I made $100,000 in a year, that would blow my mind. And so he said, great, set that as a goal. I said, well, how am I going to do that? He says, you don't need to know how. Just set the goal. So I set the goal, and I started to visualize having a $100,000 a year lifestyle. I created a $100,000 bill, which I put up on the ceiling of my house. And I get up in the morning, and there it would be. And I would use it to remind myself, like this vision book that you would see every day, that I'm going to focus on creating a $100,000 lifestyle. Now, about 40 days into it, remember the 30-day principle? I get this idea. It's the first $100,000 idea I've ever had. I had this book I'd written called 100 Ways to Enhance Self-Concept in the Classroom. Every time that book was sold, I made 25 cents. So I figured if I sell 400,000, I get to make $100,000. Didn't know how to do that. Most we'd ever sold in 1 year was 10,000 copies. But I figure, okay, now I'm going to visualize selling that many books. So I started visualizing that. So I started seeing things that were always there I never saw before. Reader's Digest said 8 million readers in 17 countries. I thought, wow, if 8 million readers knew about my book, certainly, you know, 400,000 would buy it. So I called them up to see if I could take an ad in the Reader's Digest. To make a long story short, the ad cost $108,000. I said, I won't be doing that. Right? And then I'm at the supermarket and I see the National Enquirer. It says 12 million readers weekly. I said, that's better than a Reader's Digest. So I called them up. Equally ridiculously high-priced ads. Then my wife said, hey, there's another thing we could do here. Why don't you write an article for the Reader's Digest? So I wrote an article. It got rejected. 6 weeks later, I'm teaching at Hunter College. 600 teachers are there. And at the end, this woman comes up and says, I'd like to interview you for my newspaper. I said, what do you write for? She says, mainly the National Enquirer. She put the ad in there and my book started selling more. And then my wife saw another opportunity. She said, you know, if we were a bookstore, we'd make $3 a book, because that's the retail markup, and then we'd only have to sell 33,000. Why don't we start a bookstore? So we started sending out newsletters. And to make a long story short, by the end of that year, we did not make $100,000. We made $92,328. Do you think we were disappointed? No. And then my wife said, well, if it works for $100,000, you think it'll work for $1 million? I said, let's find out, right? So we made up a $1 million bill, put that up on the ceiling, and several years later, we sold our first chicken soup book, and a year later, I got a check for $1,138,328. One check. If you will have the vision and you'll act on the inspirations, you know, you can have everything. So finally, I want to talk about this last principle. It's called practice faithful persistence. It means never, ever, ever give up. Chicken Soup for the Soul was rejected by 144 publishers. I don't know if you know that. 144 publishers said people don't buy collections of short stories. So literally, we spent 14 months trying to find a publisher. And eventually, our agent gave us the book back and said, I can't sell this. So we went to the National Booksellers Association convention down in Anaheim. We went from booth to booth to booth for 3 days. And there were 4,000 publishers represented there. And we go, would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? Would you publish our book? And we got no, 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 no. It was late on the third day that a little publisher from Florida, after we'd gotten over 144 rejections, said, we'll read it. We said, well, how many copies do you think we'll sell? After they said, yeah, we'll buy it. A couple weeks later, they said, we'll publish it. They said, well, maybe 20,000 if we're lucky. Our goal is to sell 1.5 million in 1.5 years. Now, have you ever told someone your dream and had them laugh out loud at you? He laughed out loud. Now, if we had given up after 100 publishers had said no, I wouldn't be standing here today. See, when the world says no, you say next. So what we have is this endless possibility, but you have to persevere. It's as if the universe tests our commitment. And so today we have 147 titles in print. We sold over 115 million copies. We're in 47 languages. And over $1 billion worth of Chicken Soup for the Soul books have been sold worldwide. So if you're willing to decide what you want, believe it's possible, consciously envision the future. Feel the feelings of what it would feel like if you had achieved this goal. You can have anything, and then you take action, both obvious actions and inspired actions. You can do anything. You can use this law of attraction to create anything you want in life. You can create the life of your dreams. And by following the core principles of ask, believe, and receive, you're going to create greater happiness, greater joy, greater health, greater relationships, and greater fulfillment in your life. It's possible to have anything you want. And this Dream Big collection, the Living Law of Attraction, has everything in it you need to put all these things into practice. All there, it's laid out for you in a step-by-step way. And all you have to do is use the principles in your life, and it will empower you to create anything you want and make your dreams a reality. Now, I'm going to summarize what I call the daily disciplines of effortless success. So if you do this every day, combining everything we've talked about, it's going to happen for you. Morning intention. So first thing, you get up in the morning, you say, what's my intention for the day? You review your goals. You look at your dream book. You have clarity about what you want. You say your affirmations and you visualize having that come true. Number two, use external images to keep you focused. That's what the vision book is for. You can also put up pictures around your house if you want to put it on the mirror. You can have things be in a screensaver in your computer. But it's all there laid out for you. Number three, think a better feeling thought. If you find that you're not feeling good, stop and say, what am I thinking that's creating this feeling this way? And then change the thought. Just dramatically shift. Choose a different thought. And it becomes a discipline, but you can do it. Number four, what I want you to do there is to write down five things a day in your gratitude journal. Be grateful. Keep focused on that all the time. Have an attitude of gratitude. Take action is number five. We've talked about obvious actions. We've talked about inspired actions. You know, the universe has a bias for action. The universe rewards action. So there's the inner work, and then there's the outer work. Make sure you have that balance. Trust your feelings. Trust your intuition. Take action. And finally, acknowledge that the law of attraction is working. Every time you say, I think I'm going to find a parking space, and you do, say, wow, law of attraction. The more you focus on it working, the more it'll work. Remember, what you attend to, think about, focus on, fantasize, talk about, you attract more of that into your life. You literally attract the law of attraction by acknowledging that it's working. Very cool stuff. So remember to use these tools every day. Your vision book, your gratitude journal, all of those things, if you use them, they will change your life. They will accelerate the attraction. They will accelerate the success. They will accelerate you having the things you want, being able to do the things you want, feel the way you want to feel. So finally, remember these three principles. Ask. Clearly know what you want. Take time to clarify that. Most people never sit down and decide what it is they want in their life. Talk about only what you want, not what you don't want. So you're in this constant state of asking. Honor your desires. Trust the things you're attracted to. Number two, believe it's possible. I used to wear a rubber band and I would just snap my wrist every time I had a doubt come up and I would instantly change it. So stop all doubting and start believing. Number three, get ready to receive by creating the vibrational match that will allow you to have exactly what you want in your life. And if you do this, you're going to have everything you want. Living the law of attraction is simple. It's not that complicated. It's been around forever. People have known about it. The ones who've used it have become very successful. Most of us have made our life much more complex. My next book is called Effortless Success. You can have success effortlessly if you use the law of attraction. Doesn't matter if you're 20 years old or you're 80 years old. This will work for you. Get your kids to do this. Teach them the principles. Make sure that everyone in your family is on board with this. Remember that the impact of an attractor field is the square of the number of people that are holding the same vision at the same time and the same belief. So you really can live a happier, longer, healthier, more fulfilling, relationships are juicy, everything's wonderful, you get to do everything you want, you have the career of your life, everything is possible. All you have to do is empower yourself, dream big, and make your dreams come true.